Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we have a very interesting episode today, I hope. One that was quite challenging, actually, for us to put together.
Yeah, here's how me and Dave choose episodes. We're like, what monumental task can we give ourselves? Can we assign ourselves that will give us a big headache and we have to send messages back and forth to even figure out how to do it?
Yes. And we did this, Chris and I both like our list episodes. We've enjoyed doing some of those top 10s, top 50, those sorts of things. And this one is another one of those lists. And we first started out, it was going to be the top 10 solo Beatles albums, our favorite, our best ones. And we failed miserably in that task and added two extra. I mean, we could have done it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we probably
could have done it. But I think with 12, it makes it a slightly more interesting. Maybe there's going to be a few more surprises.
Exactly. So we gave ourselves the luxury of adding two more. So our topic today will be our top 12 solo Beatles albums. And whether you want to call them the best or most essential, or we'll talk about how we each came up with our groupings and our lists in a bit. But something we wanted to mention.
Spoiler alert, it was super duper difficult.
Yes, it was extremely difficult because you think about it. I almost did a calculation of how many albums we could have chosen from. And I mean, the McCartney ones, of course, are monumental amount because there's so many
there's
more.
There's 25, including those couple of cover albums, the Run Devil Run,
Kisses, and
Choba Coop. plus, then you've also got Fireman or any of the weird experimental ones or the classical ones. Mm-mm. Or any of that. None of that was even taken into consideration. Ringo, 20 albums.
Yeah.
John, that's like 7.5 albums, you know, and then the three weird ones, like I'm sure Life with the Lions is your number one, Dave.
Two Virgins
is
my first.
And then 10 George plus a couple weird ones with George, too. So,
yeah, it's a lot to choose from.
Yeah. And I'm jokingly calling them weird ones. They're the experimental albums are worthy, but none of those are going to make
No.
I'm going to guess. So.
No, but before we get into it, something that was announced when we were coming up with this idea was the upcoming release of Gimme Some Truth, which is the box set that will be released on or around, well, it'll be shipped on or around John's 80th birthday, which is October 9th of this year. And I have the description here. It's going to be 36 tracks on... This is the LP version. On four LPs, completely remixed from the original master tapes, lift-off lid box contains four LPs, 8-page booklet, fold-out poster, double-sided poster, postcards, book, bumper sticker. So kind of all this stuff together. And so far we've heard two songs. Have you listened to the Mind Games that was released a couple days ago? That ultimate mix came out.
I did.
Yeah, what do you think of these?
The masters sound good. I'm eager to listen to all of it on my streaming service.
Yeah,
I am not eager to spend a large amount of money on any of the physical material, though. I can understand someone being interested if they are building out a record collection. In the four disc or the four LP box, I think that would probably be a handsome. Say they bought Pure McCartney a couple of years ago for $50, which was pretty good for four discs. This would probably be a nice companion to that if you want to have a little record collection going. Now, if you're at the point that I'm at, and if you're buying albums like that, we're going to suggest to you the say top 12. Albums here, probably going to be more than 12 if you compare a list. The listener to this podcast is probably going to be more eager to fill in those gaps rather than buy a new Gimme Some Truth.
Yeah, and that, I think a big reason for that is because there've already been so many Lennon reissues. I mean, he only had what 10 plus years of music, of solo music, and yet there have been how many repackagings of those same songs. And I know that the draw for us, as you mentioned, is the audio being completely remixed, and they do sound great. So far we've heard Instant Karma and Mind Games, and I do like the sound, but it's yeah, do you need to get a book and everything to go through it and to
Yeah.
under? I don't think it's, it just seems
Le
like
less and
extra.
less people are playing CDs as CDs.
Right.
If anything, they're getting the CD set and then they're immediately ripping them and then they're using that for the rest of time. So that's kind of like not I can't imagine buying a greatest hits CDs collection at this
No.
point just for a just it's basically an overpriced book
Yeah.
that you're buying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think too, obviously all this is tinged with confusion as announced at almost the same time was that we're getting a plastic Ono Band book.
Yes, not a box set or a
Not a box
recording.
set or recording. Now, as you remember, a couple years ago, the Imagine set came out and the Imagine book came out at the same time. So we had found out about the some rumors about that plastic Ono Band book. Well, the plastic Ono Band book is coming out, but not the set to be a companion to it. So
Right.
it's very, very puzzling as to why that happened. Is there going to be a plastic Ono Band set next year? Then maybe we're not as surly about not getting
Yeah.
it right now. So,
Maybe it's the inverse of the Beatles Get Back, because now you've also in the news was the new Get Back book that came out way, it's going to come out way after, well, I mean, it's not even, you can order it now, which I did, but it's, you won't get it for a year. It's coming out so far from now. So maybe you're kind of doing that. They're releasing the Plastic Ono Band book now, and then they'll release the box set next year. Sort of the flip. I don't know, but I've heard some other people saying that that oh yeah, we're gonna get a All Things Must Pass box, and we're gonna get a whole Plastic Ono Band this year. I don't see how that's possible at this point. I mean, really, it's everything's probably been shut down, and it's they're yeah. I don't know. Unless we have a Christmas surprise, maybe. I don't know. I'm
Yeah,
not hopeful.
let's have a good October surprise,
Yes,
which will
exactly.
be announcing that. Well, I had a dear friend of the show, Barnabas, and I had a little exchange talking trying to speculate on the next Paul sets and when they'll come out and what they'll be. Of course, I'm Barnabas and me both are hoping for the Back to the
You want some
Egg.
egg. Absolutely. A
We
lot of
want
our
some
fans, a
egg and
lot of
some.
our listeners want the egg.
Some egg London town maybe
Yeah.
so and I would imagine that might be packaged with a third sort of like the early Wings was packaged with a
Oh, yeah.
in a set that sold out
Yeah.
before you even knew about it. I think the same thing would happen here. They'd be like, oh, let's put a 79 camp not Campuchia but
The
the one we were
Glasgow concert. Yeah.
Glasgow or something like that in a set. So maybe that'll I would imagine that would probably come out early next year
Yeah.
as to clear the way for the Let It
For
Be
like, yeah, because you know
get
next year
backs.
is not going to have much, because that's with the movie. I mean, that's going to be the big event is Get Back. So I can't see it where they're going to let like suddenly there's going to be a George box set coming out in the same time. I mean, well, is there ever going to be a George box set? But
Yeah, we'll
that's
see.
we'll see. But any case, it's kind of interesting to see what's going on. Are you a big fan of the cover of "Give Me Some Truth" with the weird
I
arrow?
am.
Do you like the arrow thing?
I like it.
You
I
do.
like I know some people don't like it, but
Yeah.
I thought, oh, it's kind of cool and artful and I like the lettering and the look of it.
Yeah,
So
I like the picture of John with the ponytail. It's kind of a cool photo.
Well, somebody said, well, Sean's taking these over, is what somebody said. So, and that the picture looks a lot like Sean. So I'm like, oh, well, maybe.
Maybe
there's something to that.
Yeah. So. In any case, we'll certainly for our holiday gifts episode, or if not before, we'll talk about it because we'll have heard all of the tracks by then and can talk about the ultimate mixes and give a review of the sound quality, because that's all we're going to be looking at.
There's nothing new. People have said, well, there's a new live blah, blah, blah. But
come together. No, we've already heard that.
That's from New York City.
Right.
So.
Right.
I guess we'll see soon enough. It's sort of like talking election. You're like, we'll find out soon enough.
I know. Well, shall we move on to our main event here? So we each came up with 12 solo or best of solo albums. And I want to hear how you ranked yours, because we did decide that our top ones would be kind of what we think are the best, right? They're the greatest contributions. So how did you come up with your list apart from moving things around all the time like me?
Well, at least there was like a large amount of stuff that I could eliminate, you know? So there's quite a few stuff, maybe one person's almost entire catalog. Immediately was just like, no, none of that's going to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that left it. And then there's some that just are obvious.
Yeah, you have to have them. Yeah,
have to have them. So at that point, then I just tried to listen to all of them and kind of like remember, oh, yeah, there's this couple dud tracks on this one. Maybe that slips down lower, you know. And so then I start. And what I found was that there was like sets of four, like that my top four are like, you can't argue these are the top four probably.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of locked in as legendary albums that you absolutely should and must own, and if you don't, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Then there's a bundle of four in the middle that are just so solid albums, some of them legendary but so solid, have some minor flaws to them. Right. And then there's a bundle of four more have a little more flaws, maybe a dud or two
or two,
but I think are essential to build a nice collection. Would you say you're kind of similar?
Somewhat. Yeah. I'd say, like you said, there's certain, I'd say at least four or five maybe, that are essentials that every list would have, no matter who you asked. So those are obvious. The other ones I tried almost to pick by decade, or it was kind of by period. Mm-hmm. So is there one album from the 90s that is essential, or one album from the aughts, or from the teens and 70s? And it kind of worked out that way, actually, that it did sort of group that way. Those were, and also I tried a little bit for balance as much as I could to try to not make all like five of one and one of, you know, try to at least have a little bit more balance.
I do want to point out to everybody, there are 10 George albums. There are 25 Paul albums.
Yes.
So you would think there'll be more Paul than George on the list. There are also 20 Ringo albums.
So you can't go just with numbers.
So you can't just go purely on that balance of numbers. But
that's true. That's true.
A lot of solid sixes in the Ringo
solid sixes
catalog.
Yeah. Yes. So, it was fun to put together. How do you want to go about this here?
I think maybe you say your 12, I'll say my 12, and then I'll say my 11, you say your 11, and we'll just take it up till...
Okay.
I guess it'll get kind of tricky at 2, because at 2 we'll know what our 1 is, but we'll talk about 2.
Okay.
You know, we'll say what our 2 is and then talk about it.
Sounds good. That sounds good. We'll go one at a time, back and forth. I like it. All right.
I have no idea what your 12 is going to be.
I have no idea what yours are either. All right, so shall we begin here?
Yes.
So number 12, coming in at number 12 for me, was Ringo's Time Takes Time.
Whoa.
Yeah, which
I'm surprised.
well,
Yeah.
yeah, I felt this album was really kind of a it was his first really well-produced, well-done album after he got clean and was working with Jeff Lynne and a bunch of other people. It's got some catchy songs. He sounds good singing. It's good production. Don was, I think, as a producer on there, and it's got a it's kind of to me puts the best of Ringo of the later generation of the later years together. And Weight of the World is a great song. There's many good tunes on here. So I thought for because we know there's another Ringo album that I'm sure you have on it too on your list. So I thought there would be if I had to pick another one of those 20 to go all the way to the present. Time Takes Time, I think, holds together well, and it's still one I listen to. So I thought that was a good sign for me.
Well, I'm surprised, I guess, pleasantly surprised that I think that is a good record of his. And what, just to piggyback on that, my number 12 is Ringo.
Interesting.
It is the only Ringo I considered, to be
Wow.
honest with you.
Wow.
And I just couldn't move it any higher. It's got some clunky stuff on there. Year 16 obviously has not aged well.
No.
And quite frankly, it probably beat out a couple of better albums, technically. But you have to round out your collection. You have to have one Ringo.
You do. You do.
And if I'm really being honest, you probably should just buy a Ringo Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
But Ringo is a good album, and I'm the Greatest particularly. It just sounds wonderful. And obviously, Photograph
Oh
is a
yeah.
must-have in the collection. So. Yeah, Ringo was the only one I really even considered, to be honest. Every other album has flaws. I do think that album you mentioned, Vertical Man. There's a couple of the later the comeback albums that have a lot of energy to them, and if they play, are good. And there was one, the Postcards from
Yeah,
the
Postcards from
Paradise, I think
Paradise,
was
yeah.
kind of decent. And yeah, so he's got some, but like I said, they're probably six and a half sevens,
Yeah.
and they just don't rate for me. Whereas Ringo is obviously of his early career is the standout, has all new, mostly new songs on it. It's not just the covers album.
Right.
So you gotta have it on the list, I think. You
And
gotta have one Ringo. You gotta round out the collection with the Ringo.
especially for the fact that it was the closest reunion kind of that you would get really with all four Beatles being involved, so it does have significance that way. And I'll talk about Ringo more when I get to it, since it's definitely on my list too. So,
Okay,
all right,
now
take it away, number 11.
my number 11. This might be a surprise to you, Dave. New. Paul
Ooh,
McCartney, New.
that is a surprise.
I gotta tell you, when I was listening to Paul can candidates for Paul's albums that would fit around here, New is really holds up. It's the energy of the album is on point. The band sounds fantastic, and it just like there's not really, I mean, there's some appreciates and some everybody's looking at hers in there that have some flaws, obviously, to them. But they're maybe not the greatest songs in the world. But there's a lot of songs that you don't like even like think about, and like The Road. Okay,
That's a great
that's a
tune.
great song.
Yeah.
And just to give it a listen and compare it to, say, some other Paul albums that are sort of like pretty solid in that range, I was like, "Ooh, I can't leave this off. I just can't couldn't leave it off the list."
That's interesting. I remember when we talked about New, something that we discussed was the different producers that were on there, which is what Paul seems to be having a, as they say in baseball, a bullpen by committee. And here they have kind of producers by committee. And I think I remember we talked that some of them seemed like Giles Martin produced some of New, and Paul Epworth was the one I think I liked the best. And I thought it definitely was a good album, and it was a pretty strong production value. Everything was pretty strong. The songwriting, we got to. He was also well publicized with Queenie Eye, the video, and all of that stuff. So yeah, I didn't put it on my list, but I think it's a worthy candidate. And of the most recent McCartney albums, it's certainly way up there.
Yeah. So new at 11. Well, very good. What's your 11?
So my 11 is also a Paul album, and we discussed it in great detail last time on our last episode, which was Flaming Pie. So yeah. I don't need to say much more about it. It's always, you know, as we talked about in great detail, it's always ranked highly because of the good quality of it. I think what knocks it down are some of the flaws that we talked about, which are some of the duds, the Really Love Yous and Used to Be Bads and things that just kind of drag it down and make it too long. And but the stuff that is there is so strong, and it's as we found out, we really still like listening to it a lot. So I put that at number 11.
Yeah, there's a real thing that you get into when you're doing this type of rankings, which is is the bottom the crust of the album outweighed by the top of the top of the, like, the hits, the greatest songs on the album.
Yeah.
And then there's one album that we'll get to that I think is, like, so great, but not, that just doesn't have that one or two songs that are, like, legendary songs.
Push it over the edge, kind of.
To push it over the edge. So it's like all the songs are in this like solid eights, you know? Mm-hmm. Not like there's no 10 on it, but there's like solid eight. So it's like you get into, and so where do you rank that compared to the one that has the, you know, legendary greatest song ever kind of like thing? So, you know, so we'll get into that discussion. But I think that Flaming Pie is a good example of that, where there's like some, there's a couple stinkers in there, but I think the high highs are pretty good. We'll see if it makes my list or not.
We'll see indeed. So all right, on to number 10 then. I have another McCartney album, and this is 2006's Memory Almost Full. Which I've very good. Very good.
Salmon David Doors.
Yeah. That's, I thought it was I remember listening to it constantly. I've told this story before on the podcast about listening to it over the summer constantly with my friend Doug, friend of the show Doug. And it was the first chance, or the first, like, it has a lot of the great McCartney stuff. So you've got a little suite on there with Vintage Clothes and things like that. It's got You Tell Me, which you and I both that song a lot. It's got Ever Present Past, which is a good Beatlesque tune. Mr. Bellamy was kind of quirky and fun. And then The End of the End, which was one of his more serious and really well-written lyrics. And you know the problem, though, of course, why this isn't higher.
Not it up.
Not it
down.
Yeah, there's just a that one just
couple
kills it.
On there.
And Gratitude, is okay, but kind of weak. So there's a few kind of innocent tunes on there, or just sort of the innocuous tunes, that's a better word, that just kind of slide by. But I think it's a pretty strong album overall and still holds up well.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's absurd to have it in the list. I didn't have it in my list, but I think it would have been in some consideration for the probably it'd be around, I don't know, 2021.
Yeah, a little bit. If we did a top 20, it might get in there. Maybe.
Yeah, it might slide in there over some other things. So
yeah.
Okay.
All right,
Dave.
Number 10.
Well, number 10. You see, I'm wearing the George Harrison shirt.
I do.
My number 10 is Living in the Material World.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I think, you know, this album, it has some flaws to it for sure, and some people find it to be, and in some listens even, I find it to be listless.
Yeah.
but part of why it seems listless is it's got a lot of tunes like Be Here Now, a lot of slower tunes on there. And it's just when we reviewed it quite a while ago.
It was a long time ago, yeah.
4 years ago, 5 years ago. It did point out to me that there's some just great things on the album. And I felt like I had to have another George on this list. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I fought tooth and nail. There were like three Georges that I kept flipping back and forth. And George's catalog, just as a general rule, there's a lot, like you have three or four great songs and then some not so great songs.
Kind of so inconsistent.
This album had the most good songs compared to those other albums that I was considering.
Yeah, we like the musicality of Living in the Material World. I think was played well. You get to hear all the different George voices. Get some pleading George and some rockin' George. It's not on my list, but I think it is certainly a good album. And you have to be. I think it's the kind of album you have to be in the mood for, though. If you're sitting home on a quiet evening, that's the time you want to really listen to it and get into the spirituality and the kind of beautiful music of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't listen to it while I'm walking, taking a walk on the street, probably.
No, you might pop on Cloud Nine or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing that, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's it was there's Living in the Material World, and I don't know if either of these are on your list, but there's Brainwashed, there's Cloud Nine. Mm-hmm. I feel like all three of those are sort of in the same boat for me.
Yeah.
I'll listen to them one time, I'll be like, oh man, this is so great, gotta be on the list. I'll listen to it 2 days later and I'll be like, yeah, this, turn this off. So all three of them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of strange. So, but I felt like I just had to get another George in the list, and that's what I came up with.
So. Yeah. Well, very good. Very good. So that was number nine, was it?
That was number 10.
Number 10, okay.
Oh, so here's my number nine.
So number
Flaming
nine.
Pie.
Flaming Pie, okay.
Obviously, we talked extensively about Flaming Pie. This new set, too, has added value to it.
Definitely.
But I didn't take that into consideration. I tried to, like, not take any bonus anything into consideration on these. But you're getting a lot of bonus additional material now. With the new set, the new stream, especially for a streamer. Yeah, and it's solid. It's album. I took into consideration some other ones kind of near that era, and I was just like, this is sort of the winner of the bunch. You know, it's got so many good songs on it.
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up about how our minds have been changed, or maybe because of all the box set, the McCartney Archives series that's shown greater context, and it's hard for us now to just look at the album as the album when it came out or before all that. But
yeah,
but I think you and I, as we talked about, we both liked Flaming Pie before the box set anyway. So
yeah, whereas Red Road Speedway didn't make my list.
No,
Red
no.
Road Speedway before the set came out, I didn't think very highly of.
Mm-hmm.
And once the set came out and had 1882 and all this other stuff on there,
yeah.
Now I'm like, ooh, I really dig into Red Rose Speedway a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I'd barely listened to it, you know? So.
Yeah. So your mind does change a little bit. So yeah, so far so good here. Number nine for me is a George album. And I put 33 and a third on there.
Ooh.
Because it's probably been my favorite George album. And that was one I spun a lot when I was getting into the Beatles and wore out the record, actually. I played it so much. And I think I realized why. Now I've done more reading on it. It's very different than a lot of his earlier albums, because it has a lot of American musicians, a lot of African American musicians on it. So it's got a funkier sound to it and more spark to it. Cause think of right before this, Extra Texture, Dark Horse, pretty lifeless, listless albums. and kind of shabby, real inconsistent. And this album, I think all the way through, there's really not any duds that I see. You've got things like Woman, Don't You Cry For Me, Cracker Box Palace, Learning How to Love You, This Song. Sorry. Yeah. Dear One is a beautiful tune. Pure Smokey. Yeah, there's just
Pure Smokey is so great.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like his soul album, or sort of like a soul type album. And I think it plays well from beginning to end. So that one
would have been in that sort of bundle I was talking about. That when I shuffled them all up, Living in the Material World came out.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's solid. It's in that grouping. I definitely listened to it this week.
Yeah,
there's some albums I just didn't even bother with, but no. That was one of them.
Yeah, so that's my number 9.
And I really had anticipated that would make your list in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, this is one.
In fact, when we were having conversations about, now is it the best? Is other people consider it, or is it mine?
I know.
I was like, he's thinking, he's deciding if she should put that one on the list or not.
Exactly, and I had to. It had to be on my list because it is great. And yeah, continuing along with number 8 is an album you've already talked about a little bit, which is Ringo. So I put that on there for all the obvious reasons that we just talked about, for the hit singles, for Photograph, for the working with the other Beatles, for the cool cover and the Klaus Voormann drawings and things, the packaging.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of the best parts of Ringo all put together in one album. His little countryside, you've got the hits, you got kind of it all put together on there. And I can't remember if you were a big fan of the McCartney contribution of 6 o'clock. Did you like that tune?
It's okay.
Yeah.
The McCartney Ringo one that I always love is Pure Gold.
Oh yeah.
Rhoda Gerwer.
Yes.
I think that song is like one of Ringo's best. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hit. So. Yeah. That's a good one. But yeah, not much more to say. Just number 8 is Ringo, and I think it has to be on there for all the reasons we've said. It holds up pretty well.
Yeah, you gotta have one Ringo.
Yes.
If you didn't have to have one Ringo, then maybe Ringo would land about 16 or 17 for me.
Somewhere.
I'm number 8. We've talked about, and once again, the new set of is super great, and that's Tug of War. Absolutely love Tug of War. Had to be on my list. One of my favorite albums. I spend it all the time, and honestly, it's one of the favorite episodes we've done.
Yeah,
on the show, it was fun and funny. Where I was like, "Is this ooey oo?"
Yep.
And so many great songs on it, and even the ones that are weird, like "Dress Me Up as a Robber," have just grown on me, or more and more listens to it. I'm like, all right, Dress Me Up as a Robber. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's true.
But, and then, you know, Tug of War.
Yeah.
Is a great song. Ebony and Ivory is a great song. And probably my favorite of the maybe solo Beatles song of the 80s is Take It Away.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
Just love it. Now I'm remembering that those Double Fantasy songs were in the 80s, so maybe there's a couple of those that are slightly better than Take It Away, but I just absolutely love Take It Away.
But here's the big question, and I don't disagree with anything you've said. Tug of War also contains one of your least favorite songs of Paul McCartney ever, I believe, Here Today.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's not one of my least favorite songs of McCartney.
I had to get you.
You did get me. I did. Particularly early in the podcast, I would be like,
bathroom song.
But over the years, it's grown on me. And particularly the last time I saw Paul, I thought with his frail voice that it really made that song like even more poignant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a decent song. It's just, it was never like.
It's, you have to, again, another one of those you have to be in the mood for, I think. It's because it does hit an emotional side. So But I Tug of War, I can't disagree with anything there. It's very strong, and yeah, lots of memories too for that album, with getting the LP and seeing the picture of Paul on the cover with the cans holding his headphones, and you know, it's iconic, and George Martin's work on there too.
So
All
I'll go
right.
on to my number seven.
Number seven.
My number seven from Paul and Linda is Ram, which is slow for some people, I'm sure. High maybe for other people. I don't know if this might
You
be a
may be
little high for you. We'll
surprised.
find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out. But a great album, and it compares favorably to his other solo works very much, in that it really holds together. It really sound has a very unique, interesting sound to it, and it, though it balances the raw kind of McCartney one kind of album thing with a lot more production than you think. When I was listening to it recently, if you think about Long Haired Lady, that is so complicated of a song musically.
Yes.
Almost the entire album is in that category: great music, nonsense lyrics. Okay, so that's where it knocks it down a little bit, because it's sort of absurdist. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Admiral Halsey, Uncle Albert. But I feel like the atmospheric sound of the album holds through the whole way, and it really ties together, and it sounds great, wonderful. Paul, great playing on the whole thing. Paul's voice sounds perfect on the whole thing. Great album. Has to be on the list. You have to have it. I know that some people think of it lower than I do, but and some people think it's his best album. But I don't think it's his best album, but I think definitely it's a must own, and it's a must listen.
It's also on my list. You'll hear in a little while. I do agree with all of that, actually. This is an album I think that's gotten a lot more positive reviews, or its estimation has grown over years, and it is really well produced and played. It's kind of weirdly raw and polished at the same time, because you've kind of got there's an edge to everything, which I think is great. You know, it unlike Red Rose Speedway, where you have the it's really smoothed out and kind of a different flair. This album still has some rawness to it, and but yet you've got these beautiful productions on it, and it's complex. So, I'm a big fan too.
And definitely probably the best Linda performances on this, just in all of her vocal performances and keyboards and everything.
She adds a lot.
Yeah, she adds a lot to it. So, really lovely album, number seven, Ram.
Yeah, very
And why
good.
is it so low?
Because there's so many others. Yeah.
Exactly.
So for my number seven, I put Cloud Nine,
Whoa! There it is.
there it is. Yeah, because of everything that it was for George. It was for me, you kind of have All Things Must Pass and Cloud Nine are kind of the bookends of his career. And obviously, there's other albums we talked about that we just picked two others, but that are in there. But in terms of commercial success and influence and style and just at the right time, being in the right place at the right time, I think Cloud Nine was it. Starting work with Jeff Lynne, a huge influence on a lot of these albums, and was a big player in the Beatles story from the 80s and 90s. And I mean, it gave him number one hits. It gave him great tunes. We talked about one under the microscope with When We Was Fab. It was a fantastic song, and just a couple of duds. I mean, I wouldn't say duds, but some songs that maybe don't fit as well. I mean, George sounds like very vigorous on this album, which I think is nice. And you've got great playing with Clapton and Ringo and everybody on it. So I think it's a solid album still.
Yeah, I'll say this, Dave. I never was a huge Cloud Nine guy. But over the last week, I couldn't help but have it sort of lingering right there, making the list, not and then it being off the list and back on, and then sort of what I was saying about living in the material world. I was kind of shuffling those two around, and And so Cloud9 was at 12 as late as yesterday, maybe for
me. Wow.
And then I was like, no, I got to put the Ringo in there. So, yeah, so I'd put it around there about around 13, mm-hmm. 14 for me because of the I probably ding it a little harder for production stuff than yeah. you do. But it was very I would say that Cloud9 and Flowers in the Dirt are probably right around the same type of
yes,
which are solid albums. Love the energy that they have, but the production stuff just kind of gets in the way here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the tunes are like, you know, eye rolling
yeah.
on each of them.
Yeah.
You know, that just kept it off the list. But they're definitely, you know, if you go to that, if you want to go into that 13 to 16, 15 tier, 16 tier, yeah, 13 to 16
yeah.
tier. They'd both be there. They'd have to be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Number seven, Cloud9. All right.
What's your six?
Number six. Yes, we're getting to the real choice cuts here. Yeah, I put Walls and Bridges at number six from John.
Whoa, I'm stunned.
You are.
Wow.
In a bad or a good way.
Six.
Yeah.
Boy. Wow.
Yeah, I thought.
I'm more stunned about what you're leaving off. Walls and Bridges was in the running for me. Oh boy.
Yeah, because again, I'm thinking like, oh yeah, because John, there's not much John to choose from, and
yeah.
you know, and I also thought, well, Double Fantasy's great, but half of it isn't John, so
yeah.
that doesn't really work, and
exactly.
yeah, and Milk and Honey stuff like that, so. In this case, Walls and Bridges, it was, again, I like to look at the periods of where they were and what they were doing, and that, this just, for me, captures the whole mid-70s Lost Weekend period, and there's some really solid stuff on here. We like the Harry Nilsson, Old Dirt Road.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. And what you
number
got?
Nine.
Yeah, number nine, Dream.
Oh, you didn't have this at number nine.
No, I should. Okay, really should I blew it on my list here. Yeah. yeah. So that was there. Some good playing. I know it's marred by the production is a little too Phil Spector-y for what it was, but What You Got, Bless You, Scared. I think there's some good stuff. Nobody Loves You If You're Down and Out. It's pretty. Pretty good album overall.
The main reason I'm surprised is I'm looking at my top six and I haven't heard any of them on your list yet.
Uh-oh.
So one of my top six isn't even on your list.
Oh.
And that's shocking to me.
Well, why don't you what is it?
I'll say, well, I just want to continue with the Walls and Bridges though. Solid album. I felt like Walls and Bridges, Mind Games, and Double Fantasy are all probably in the top 20, but you can't. To me, they all have big flaws and some real. They all have production issues of some sort,
mm-hmm.
and they all have some duds, and they all have some fantastic songs.
Yeah,
on them too. Like we talked about a few of them, and you know, What You Got, love What
yeah,
You Got.
Yeah.
Baby, give me one more chance. It's yeah. probably my favorite thing to sing real loud
yeah.
at my wife. So,
yeah.
So, but yeah, I Walls and Bridges, yeah. So it's not insane for it to be on your list. So I didn't want to
give
the impression that it's
no, I get it.
Crazy, but I'm just surprised that one of these top six is not on your list.
Okay, well, I'm interested to hear it.
And it's great. That's why we're doing.
That's why we're doing it. Yeah, exactly. All right, so what do you have at number six?
Number six, George Harrison.
That was
George Harrison. That's the one. You don't have it on your list.
I don't.
It's such a great album. Fantastic. Start to finish. There's really no real duds on it.
No.
It's a real solid album. And over the years, it's just grown and grown and grown on me. It's probably, you know, it's one of my favorites. I spin it all the time. I have it on vinyl. I'll you know, if they come out with a box set kind of version of it, I will have to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, love every tune on it. So if there's a weak spot on it, let's see here. Let me faster is probably the weakest spot on it, but it's still solid. I absolutely love some of these lesser known. I mean, if we were like Soft Hearted Hannah, for instance, is such a fantastic song, and most people don't even know about that one. Soft Touch is solid, you know. So I like it start to finish. Love it. So had to be on my list. I'm kind of surprised it's on your list.
You know, that's actually the reason why I didn't put it on the list. So there are two reasons. One, 33. It was between 33 1/3 and George Harrison, and for me, 33 1/3 is always. I mean, I love George Harrison too, but 33 1/3 has always been kind of my album. And
and then I
also knew that George Harrison was going to be on yours, and I thought, let's give the listeners another album to check out if they haven't. So I knew it would be there, and it was a tough call because I've shared everything you said was totally accurate, and I spun it a lot growing up and still do. And as soon as I hear that bow 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 bow, as soon as I hear Love Comes to Everyone, that beginning, I'm like, oh, okay, I gotta listen to the whole thing now. And not guilty it is terrific. That's a different set of musicians again. It's the American Russ Titelman, but it's just a different group of players that gave George a lot of life in those mid to late 70s.
Yeah, yeah. I think it. Your average fan out there would be kind of surprised I have it at 6, as high as I have it. Yeah. But it's always been just one of my favorites, and it will remain so.
Yeah,
I can't see it slipping in my estimation over the years.
No.
Upcoming.
No.
So So real good. Number 6.
Yeah. All right.
So I guess I do my number 5.
Number
now,
5.
Too.
Number 5.
Oh boy. Number 5. Which I'm hopefully, knock on wood, going to get in a week's time at Record Store Day number 2.
Oh.
Is McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the McCartney, legendary, great, fantastic album. If there is a weakness of it, it's the couple of instrumentals.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not the instrumentals are even good. It's not, like, you know, but... Do you spin Kareen a core, or do you take the record off at that point?
Yeah.
You know, that's the only little small ding on it. But otherwise, I mean, you can't. How can you argue against the tracks on it? Let me pull it up again here. Obviously, Win It.
Oh yeah, Every Night.
Every Night.
I'm amazed.
Maybe I'm amazed, and you've got Junk. Those three alone are great. And even songs that in other places would sound like you would not think the Teddy Boy would work. But it's so great on that, like this version of it. And, you know, the raw, I'm going to do it all myselfness of the album is just like, you know, legendary, puts it way up there. The only reason it's 5, obviously, is because of the top 4.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's. I love McCartney also, and would love to hear the new Half Speed Master when that comes out. It's always been a good album to me. It's not to me in my top 5, but it is good, and I think that's another one that grows on you more and more. And
was that not on your list?
It's not on my list. No.
Oh boy.
No, this
McCartney, is McCartney. Is that like number 13 on you?
It might have been. Yeah, probably would have been.
Okay.
Right after, but yeah, I think
well,
it's great.
That must be the other one because these top 4. There's no way these top 4 are not on your list.
Oh, I think we may disagree. I think there may be.
What are you doing, Dave? What are you doing?
I'm throwing everybody off here.
Are you starting to take drugs?
That's why these lists are fun. That's why it's great when we don't talk about them.
That's right.
So
we'll see.
We'll see what we have here. Number 5. So I put number 5 as Ram. And for all the reasons we talked about, I think it's an enjoyable listen.
I kept flip-flopping McCartney and Ram. at 5 and 7,
mm-hmm.
and because of that production thing, like
yeah.
the RAM has more complexity with the
right
production.
Yeah, yeah. This is an album that I have to say, even maybe it's been knowing you for so long and doing this together for so long, but I even have started to listen to Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey with a new appreciation after hearing the, yes, you've turned me a bit here. When I listen to Ram in full context, it makes a lot more sense, and I appreciate the musicality of it. And you just have to, like, I mean, lyrics for me are always secondary because music's always first for me. But you know, mm-hmm. It's cool. It's got its own charm, I think. So.
Cut to audio of you mocking it.
I know. Hey, we can all grow, right? We can admit our, we all evolve on these things. So
yeah.
But
yeah.
Ram is just real solid overall. So I put it at number 5. All right, top 4 here. Top 4. You might be surprised at this one, and okay. I'll say it's my last McCartney album in the top 4. And it is Wings Over America. And the reason why I didn't put another album that often gets put up there at the top is because most of the songs on that album are on this. And this covers a huge amount of material. And it's, to me, the most kick-ass Wings group. And the performances are all there. And it's got a live charge to it that I think is really amazing. This is, to me, one of the great live albums of all time.
Okay, I'm not going to ding you for it.
Okay.
Because I didn't consider live albums as a possibility.
Oh.
But I like, just in my mind, but we didn't discuss that.
No.
We tried not to discuss anything. We also, I think just naturally, both of us were like, let's not even put greatest hits or
no,
anything.
No, definitely. Collections.
Otherwise, Blast From Your Past would definitely overtake Ringo, probably, for me. But I'm not going to ding you for that, because I think you are onto something here. That I obviously the other one's going to be on my list but I can get behind what you're saying.
Okay.
And it is the band that full band playing on an album. Like, it's not just like on the
other one that's coming. Yeah.
Yes. That album, it's just a few people really mm-hmm. doing all of it. Whereas there is an opportunity for the full Wings experience.
Yes.
Which I honestly don't have on my list, a full Wings experience. I probably would have, having not considered live albums, maybe I've considered Venus and Mars
mm-hmm.
in that kind of that range between 13 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. In fact, it's sitting on my sheet at about 15.
Yeah.
So because you got to have a Wings in there.
Oh yeah, definitely. Right. And that's and this one just covered, because it also gives you a chance to hear Silly Love Songs as well as Soily and some of the other.
Everybody go look at Soily!
And you've got, you know, all the kind of tunes that, like on Venus and Mars, Rock Show, that stuff
yeah.
that the albums aren't, to me, as great as this has it all kind of put together in really good life. And I know we know a lot of it was overdubbed too, but still really great. So it is kind of studio-esque to some extent, but
yeah.
Really well done. And it covers a lot of the Band on the Run material that we like and we think is so good anyway. So that was my reason for putting it in there at that spot.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. So there's number 4, Wings Over America.
Yeah. I'm not going to burn it down.
Okay.
For cheating.
All right.
But,
thank you. Yeah.
And obviously if you didn't have it in there, you would have to have Band on the Run probably in your top 12.
Yeah. Right? Oh, it would have been in there. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll not.
Okay.
I'll not
thank you.
Try as you fit.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it?
You're up now, I think. I did Ram okay. and Wings Over America, so no, you're number 4.
Well, my number four, before earlier in this episode, I talked about something that you got solid eights, solid nines throughout, and that's Plastic Ono Band.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's a beautiful, perfect, wonderful, atmospheric album. It's Ringo's best drumming album,
mm-hmm.
hands down. It's a wonderful, wonderful album. My wife says it's her favorite album.
Hmm.
The solo works. The only reason, in comparison to another album of his that's coming up on my list, it's that, does it have that legendary song on it?
Hmm.
It sort of doesn't.
Right.
You know, it has like great songs. Hold On.
Yeah.
God. God, the closest you get to that 10.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the songs are just solid, and it does have the last 2 minutes of Well, 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 I can probably do without. And it, you know, it has just a slight pullback. Just, I mean, it's hard, but it's like comparing it to these other albums.
I know, like, I know.
Damn it. All right. So, great, great album, though. Still a little personally upset that the Upset isn't coming out.
Yeah, me too.
So we can deep dive into it.
Yes, me
so,
too.
Yeah, so that, yeah. That's four on my list.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to hold off my commentary because that album is on
I'm
my
sure
list.
Sure, that's on your album.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
And then my number three, Band on the Run,
mm-hmm.
for all the reasons why one would think Band on the Run would be there. You know, it's just like a great, fantastic album. What do we got on here? We've got Band on the Run, obviously, Jet, Mrs. Vanderbilt, Let Me Roll It, Bluebird, 1985. All of these are still in his set.
Yep.
They're still, you know, classics. They're just like
classics.
They're greatest Paul record, obviously. I think you got to have it. I think you got to have it. You got to have Ram. You got to have McCartney. You got to have all three of those.
Well, even
to start.
Yeah. And even some of the songs that aren't the hits on, or the big famous ones on Band on the Run, like even Mamounia is kind of cool, or the Picasso's
well,
Last Words.
We were talking about No Words of, like a month ago or something. And No Words had come up, and I'm like, oh, I kind of forget about No Words, but it's actually a pretty decent
it
song.
Is.
For a Penny Lane lead vocal song.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst song in the album,
yeah.
quote unquote, but it's still great, you know?
And so, Hell and Wheels on there too.
Yeah, the American version.
American version, yeah.
Especially has Hell and Wheels. And so, yeah, so real solid.
Yeah.
Bluebird.
No, Bluebird's a wonderful
Bluebird's
song.
So great.
Yeah.
So the first side of this album is just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And especially, Chris, for all those who don't know, haven't heard the podcast in its entirety, loves the one-hand clapping version of Jet. Because
yes.
We get all of the Paul histrionics.
Oh,
come on now!
Oh, come on now!
The best. So, no, those are you can't go wrong with Band on the Run, for sure. It's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah.
So, for my number three, I put Imagine, which is, it was, John always said it was the political message put down sweetened with honey or with a spoonful of sugar or something to make it go down a little smoother. But just fantastic. And the box set certainly helped a lot. I think it added a lot of value to the set, which we liked already. But it's there's so many great songs on there, like obviously the title track, Jealous Guy, How is one of our favorites, I know. Oh My Love. There are a couple that are not my favorites, like It's So Hard is kind of a little bit generic blues. And then I Don't Want to Be a Soldier Mama kind of goes on too long.
Oh no. How dare you say that? Oh no.
Oh no. But
but I think I'd agree with that, but the highs are real high.
Yeah absolutely. So Imagine is my number three. It's the moment of truth.
Yeah,
so we've got our final two here. All right, so my number two.
Yeah, what's your number two?
This was very difficult. My number two is All Things Must Pass.
Okay.
And the reason is the third disc.
The third disc.
Yeah.
I knew you were gonna say it.
I mean, discs one and two are practically flawless, with few minor exceptions. And if it had been released just that way, yeah. But I think that third, the third, all the Apple Jam, I think is really kind of superfluous and just yeah, kind of nicks it a little bit.
Yeah, this is stuff I wrestled with myself,
Yeah, I
Dave.
know, I know.
I'll just say my number two now, so we can just talk about all these here. Is my number two is Imagine.
Okay.
So my number one is All Things Must Pass, and your number one is
Plastic
Plastic
Ono
Ono
Band.
Man.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
for me to hint on Imagine, yeah, that recent set, just like listening to it over and over, just sort of solidified just a childhood love of this album,
Yeah.
and it's sort of what you were talking about the one George album, 33 and a third. Just sort of like, I can't, it's this album's so in my bones that the flaws of the album don't even feel like flaws to me, you
Yeah,
know?
they're not really like flaw flaws. They're just sort
yeah
of, yeah.
yeah it's
Yeah.
just sort of like, you know, we can laugh a little bit at It's So Hard, maybe. But you know, Imagine, Jealous Guy, How,
Yeah.
Oh My Love, and
Give
even
me
Give
some
Me Some
truth.
Truth
Yeah.
now is like, particularly the last few years,
Since
Give Me Some Truth
2016 in
might have seemed
particular.
trite and old timey in 2015,
Yes.
and now it seems
Yeah.
very prescient. So yeah, so I love that album, and it was sitting at one for a while, and then I had the same assumption that you had, that oh, that third disc, first two discs are what, 17 songs, one song repeated. Okay, so there's
Yeah,
a
so
very the slightest ding on that, but it's a good song,
Yeah.
right? But you've got
I dig love.
17, seven, and I do too.
Yeah.
Okay. But otherwise, 16 songs that are all not just like great songs, but like great and like have been covered by thousands of people because they're so good, you know, and all the cover versions are good. You know, it's just like we've done a review of half of this album.
Yes, part two will be coming later this year.
Part two later this year, so I don't want to dig too deep into it, but it's just like, it's a perfect, it's, I mean, it's a fantastic, perfect album.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, if I considered the third album a bonus disc that they tossed in that I just never listened to,
Yeah.
now we're talking a perfect, and just from volume, you know,
Yeah.
would just naturally be the number one album.
Yeah.
So I lifted it up to one, and that's why it's there for me. I get the argument about that third disc, though.
Yeah.
It's one of
No, that's
those, like,
fair. And
it's Johnny's birthday, and I've often said we'll do an episode someday of the most confusing, worthless things to exist in Beatles lore, and
Yeah.
that's, it's Johnny's birthday is probably
Up there.
up there. But Let It Roll,
Yeah.
Waiting on You All, good God.
Oh, I know. I know. It reads like a, yeah, just
Behind
terrific.
That Locked Door, it's like, ooh, like
I know. Even
sends
the
chills up my spine.
If Not For You, even the Dylan cover.
So
Yeah.
that's where I wear, why I wore my Dark Horse shirt
You got
today.
it. I love it. I love it. I don't disagree with any of that.
So, but you've got it number one.
I have, John Lennon Plastic Ono Band number one. And I think it's not necessarily because of the music. I think it's, which is great, but I think it's more for the impact and the statement and the just the newness of a major rock artist doing something like that at that time, so hot off the Beatles, totally raw, totally frayed nerves, and just as an artistic statement, to me, it still is kind of scary, and it's there's a an unsettling factor about it that puts it at that like who would do this? Who's done this before? And
Yeah.
that's why I put it up there. And
yeah, it's a masterwork. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
I can't recommend enough trying to track down the classic albums.
Yes. That video.
Plastic Ono Band. It's just, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's where it really, like, struck me how good Ringo is on the record. Too.
Yeah, that's the biggest unsung secret of that album is Ringo is just the absolute perfect accompaniment for these songs. And, I mean, Remember, Isolation, so many, Hold On, Look at Me. I mean, just really putting it all together, it really is so, I don't know. Like I say, it's scary. There is something kind of scary and edgy about that album that is still so powerful 50 years later. So for me, that's why it's at the top.
It's all eights and nines. There's no dud.
No.
If you're looking for a dud, it's probably My Mommy's Dead.
Yeah.
Ending the album. But now you're really, you know.
Yeah, splitting hairs here.
Splitting hairs. Exactly. Yeah. Or, like I said, the last 2 minutes of Well, Well, Well.
Yeah. A lot of screaming.
I love Well, Well, Well live, the live work version.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty great. So,
she looked so beautiful. I could eat it. I did. So, but yeah. I mean, I wonder if our listeners, how many of you are screaming at us throughout this list. Like, why is that on the list? Why isn't that higher, you know? So I think if as a listener, sit and try to do this.
Yeah, good exercise.
Good exercise.
See if you can do it in one take, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're someone who has a big knowledge of the deep catalog of all the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we had quite a few more differences in our list than I would have anticipated.
Me too. Although I know you well enough that I was expecting that you would pick some albums that I probably wouldn't because of things we've talked about in the past. And I thought that's good because we want more diversity and have, you know, we each have our different perspectives. We don't just look at the Mojo magazine and say, well, this is the top 10. So we're just going to read off the top 10 that other people have. And we listen to them differently. So,
yeah.
I think that's great that you have, for example, New on there, and I put Memory Almost Full. You know, those are two.
Exactly.
We like both those albums a lot, but for different reasons. So
if I have a big surprise, I mean, there was several surprises, but one surprise we haven't talked about is I would have thought for sure you would add Flowers in the Dirt on your list.
Yeah, that it was number 13, I think. It was just...
Yeah.
It was because I was trying to weigh the McCartney.
It was on my list until I was like, I absolutely have to have Ringo.
Yeah.
So
that kept off some other good ones too with having to have a Ringo on there. Yeah.
So I probably the one that you mentioned that I didn't even have on my top 20 that I'd probably reconsider is the Memory Almost Full.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would have had Chaos and Creation over that.
Yeah, that was also in the running as well. It's just so tough. I mean, I tried to... I'm looking at my tally here, so I want to hear your tally as well. So I have 3 Johns, 4 Pauls, 3 Georges, and 2 Ringos.
I think you got one too many Ringos and one too few Pauls.
Yeah.
For sure.
Could be.
Because Paul's got 25 albums and... So I end up having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Pauls.
Okay.
I end up having 3 Georges, 1 Ringo, and 2 Johns.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that, I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
That's, I mean, you just, yeah.
The sheer output level with Paul, I mean, it's, it's hard to.
Yeah. Because I'd probably have Flowers in the Dirt.
Yeah.
Chaos of Creation, Venus and Mars. They're all like in the right. Venus and Mars, obviously, you got some goofy stuff on there. But I would say, this is what I wanted to talk about when we were talking about the Wings. So you got a lot of Wings albums, and I know a lot of our fans are probably punching the speaker, saying you don't have any Wings albums on it. You know, like Band on the Run is a Wings album, but
sort of, yeah,
sort of. It doesn't have a full band on it, you know. So yeah, it's. I feel like all of the Wings albums are relatively solid, like six, anywhere from the range to 6.5 to 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of like floating in there. Venus of Mars is the one to me that it holds. It has an atmosphere throughout, and it holds pretty solid.
It does.
Possibly someone could also say that about Back to the Egg.
But yeah, we'll hold off on that.
We'll get to that kind of stuff later. But you couldn't put Wildlife on there, no. Or
Red Rose Speedway,
or Red Rose Speedway, or the Wings, the Speed of Sound no. has too many clunker songs on side two, and
mm-hmm.
you know,
London Town.
Yeah, I couldn't consider any of those, but and I ended up with more later period mm-hmm. Paul stuff like Flame and Pop. Me having Paul, I had Paul at 3 too. It's mm-hmm. like I've always considered Paul my favorite kind of, well, I haven't always considered Paul my favorite, but you compare Band on the Run to All Things Must Pass, and
yeah, it's hard. You can't. Yeah. I know. It's a tough exercise. That's why we'd love to have you pick. Tell us what your top five, or if you have disagreements with any of ours, we'll post our lists on the show page, and it'll come up in the description so you can compare. We'd love to hear what you think on that, because it is a very challenging exercise. I mean, even doing the Beatles ones, you know, we did that as well for our 150th episode, and that was challenging, but it wasn't quite the same, because you know, those are the same four guys all together, and yeah. But this is totally different, with totally different styles and over 50 years, so it's really hard to compare.
Whatever we do next, Dave, let's make it super duper complicated, and it takes us 4 weeks just to figure out what the hell we're doing. No, we'll do a simple one for this.
Yes, I think so too. That would be perfect. So. Well, great. We noticed that there have been a couple more reviews added to our iTunes page for the podcast, including one who claimed we were under substances, doing this under substances, which we are not. So,
I don't smoke weed until after the podcast. I swear.
Yes, and I don't. So,
yeah,
we just have a good time. But anyway, if you feel inclined, we'd love to have you write a review of us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Always appreciate getting reviews. In the meantime, you can always contact us by email at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com. You got Facebook and Twitter, and at Chris D. Bragg, at I've Got That's a Beatles. Right. And
yeah, if you want to hear me yell at senators. But I also post a song of the night every night, so ignore my political stuff if you don't like that. All you guys come on our Facebook page and you share your opinions, and sometimes they differ greatly from our opinions, and we love it.
Mm-hmm.
We like to get into discussions with it when they're a positive, good discussions to have of like, oh, you're crazy for not putting this on your top 12. That's a discussion I'll have. But I have more with our listeners. Our listeners are so wise, so smart.
Mm-hmm.
I have more positive interactions than negative interactions, because and really genuinely starting to get some friendships with some of the people that listened to our podcast. And it's really, you know, particularly this day and age where I'm stuck in a room 20, like other than maybe 2 hours of the week.
I know.
It's a real treat to hear from some of you. So
definitely
keep it coming.
Absolutely. And so with that, we'll let it roll, as it were, and come up with new episodes soon. So yeah, like you said, we'll something a little more, a little simpler here. We'll be added.
Oh boy.
But you've given me lots of good stuff to think about on this episode, and I'm gonna this afternoon when I'm doing my work, I'm gonna be checking out some of the albums and re-listening to some of the albums that we talked about here. So that's always fun to do. So.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, and we will be back at you soon with a new episode.